Welcome to the Stronger Marriage Podcast with Trey and Lee.
Hey, we're so glad y'all joined us today. We're doing a part two from what we did a couple of weeks ago on what your spouse wants you to know about sex.
And that's right.
We had lots of listeners that tuned in for our first part of this.
We did. So. And hopefully the wives and husbands listened. We had a lot of positive feedback, a lot of listeners. Last week we did what your wife wants you to know, husbands. Mm-hmm. Today we're going to do part two and what your husband wants their wives to know. But why don't you give us a quick review of last podcast of what wives want husbands to know.
Husbands, your wife wants you to know that romance leading up to sex should start before bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that. She wants you to pursue her in places other than just the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
She does not want you to make it all about you. She wants you to know that your hygiene is important. And she wants you to know that intimacy is more than just sex.
That's right. So, and those are all important to most
wives. All important. If you did not listen to that episode, please make time to go back and do that. But we're gonna kick in and talk to the wives about what husbands want you to know this week.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And so let's just kick it off. Let's look at number one on what your husband wants to know. And of course, we're gonna say this again real quick. Not every one of these points are going to fit every marriage.
Exactly.
The goal for you is to share these with your husband. You can write them down or have them listen to it and go, is this you?
Yes.
So,
because what we said last week to the husbands, you know, that may also be important to the wives as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's important for wives to have good hygiene and all
exactly.
those things too.
So it's always good to communicate
yes.
these things. We're speaking to the majority, and most husbands want their wives to know these five things.
Mm-hmm.
And number one, right off the bat, is it's more fun when you are into it, if I can use that phrase, or enjoy it as well.
Yeah. Your husband doesn't want to just be serviced, if I can just say it that way.
It's our podcast. You can say that.
He doesn't want you to feel like it's your duty. And that it's just something that you do because it's something that he wants or needs. He wants you to be a willing participant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really why God designed sex. It was for mutual satisfaction and not just for one person.
So a couple of things that I read today I thought that was really good. We're the only species that God created that has sex face-to-face. I guess you'd call that missionary position, but has face-to-face where there's so much intimacy and connection involved. And one of the things I also thought was pretty interesting is that while everything in the animal kingdom has sex for because of cycles and they were in heat, whatever it was, for procreation,
mm-hmm.
we're the only species that God's created that has sex for pleasure and for connection, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so there's more to sex than just an orgasm. It's important to understand that there is connection. And for most husbands, again, notice we said most, for most husbands, ladies, this is how your husband emotionally connects with you. This is how he feels connected to you. While you have to feel very connected to him in other areas in order to want to be sexual, he needs to connect with you sexually in order to feel that way.
Exactly.
And we're going to talk more about that
yes.
in a minute.
Yes, I was going to say, you're jumping down all
no.
the way down to number five. But well, we're going to talk about that
I'm
more.
I'm giving
we are.
Little hints and stuff. But yes, and so strive hard to be a willing participant. No husband or wife wants their feel like their spouse is punching a time clock. Let's
mm-hmm.
get this over with. This is a job. This is a do. And it doesn't matter what it is. Communication, affection. If I'm holding your hand just because I feel obligated to do it, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do things out of obligation. They've got to be done things out of love. And that's where and why this is so important.
Yes.
Your spouse wants you to strive to enjoy it too, to
yes.
be a willing participant.
Yeah. But at the same time. I mean, I'm just going off of what you just said.
Sure.
Physical touch may not be my number one thing.
Sure.
And I don't want to do it as often as you do, touching. Mm-hmm. But I still touch you because I know that's important to you. And that makes me feel good.
It's true.
To do something that I know is important to you.
That's right.
Even though it's not as important to me. So that's I don't know if that makes any sense.
It does. But I'm the touchy person in the marriage. And I know that Lee is not as touchy a person. And she touches me because she knows that's important to me.
Yes.
If sex is important to you or important to your spouse and you are a willing participant, maybe it's not as important to you, but because it's important to your spouse, it is important to you.
Yes.
Absolutely. And that can be that way with communication or anything else.
Absolutely. So I know we talked to the husbands last week, and we did talk about pursuit outside the bedroom. But guys, just let me say, we're telling the wives to be willing participants, but husbands, part of this falls on your shoulders mm-hmm. by the way that you pursue her outside the bedroom. She's going to be a more willing participant inside the bedroom according to the way you pursue her outside the bedroom.
That's right. And that means she wants you to want her more than just for sex. She wants you to send the sweet notes, send the flowers. She wants you to take her on dates. She wants you to continue to pursue her more than just in the bedroom, not for just what you can get out of this. So as we say sometimes in the workshop, do those little things like buying a surprise gift card for a manicure or pedicure, not because you're trying to get out of a doghouse, but do it for no reason. When you start doing those little things all the time for no reason, mm-hmm. those make a difference.
Yeah, just showing her that you care on a daily basis goes a long ways to creating intimacy.
That's it. So let's talk about number two.
Okay, number two is be confident, wives. Confidence is sexy.
Yes, it is.
So be willing to try new things. Be willing to communicate things that you like and, just as important, that you dislike. Communication is really, really key. Surprise him by wearing some new lingerie or just some lingerie in general that maybe you haven't worn in a very, very long time. I know every once in a while you have to remind me, hey, you do still have those special drawers that you talk mm-hmm. about in the workshop, mm-hmm. right?
We still have that stuff, right?
we do. But yeah, sometimes it's just, we get lazy.
We do.
Yes.
Confidence is important. And also when we're talking confidence, this also means, I'm trying to think of the right word. I'm not trying to think of the word aggressive, but be initiate, or and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But I mean, be the one that is a little bit more aggressive at times. Be the one that pursues versus just having your husband do all the whatever. Instead of going, I don't care, whatever you want to do is fine. Be the one that goes, hey, let's try this.
Yes.
That's called confidence.
You have preferences, it's okay to voice your preferences. Mm-hmm. Flirt with your husband. He loves it when you flirt with mm-hmm. him. Confidence has a lot to do also with not obsessing about the way you look. Now, he wants you to look nice for him, of course, and you want to look nice. I mean, it just makes you feel good when you look nice, but don't obsess about the way you look. That's what we're trying to say. Don't stress about your body.
We don't look the way we did 35 years ago when we got married.
No.
But I can promise you, wives sometimes stress over things that their husbands never see. Stretch marks, things that just maybe don't look the way they used to, and you are going, ooh, I look terrible, and your husband just sees beautiful.
Yeah.
Just sees beautiful. Yeah. And so try not to stress over those things.
That's exactly right. The next one is to be kind and be lovable.
Ooh, nobody wants to, can I say sex or make love? Nobody wants to make love to somebody who's grouchy or mm-hmm. whiny or naggy. Or it's like, hey, how's my naggy, grouchy, grumpy wife today? Let's go climb into bed. That's not going to happen.
No.
And so be desirable.
Yeah. This goes back to what we said to the husbands. You know, a lot of this has to do with the way you treat your spouse outside the bedroom. The better you treat your spouse outside the bedroom, the better you're going to be treated inside the bedroom. So, yeah, be kind, be lovable. Don't constantly criticize your husband and treat him like he's one of your children and give him very little appreciation.
And I hear this all the time. Yeah. And I feel bad. I have no doubt they wonder why my marriage isn't better. And I hear sometimes we run into wives who say things like, you know, he's not one of my children. I don't have to give him praise. And I'm like, but did you know that if you'll just give him a little praise, he'll knock down walls for you? Mm-hmm. He'll do anything for you. If you'll just build him up a little bit instead of just thinking, hey, he should know these things. And I know that goes both ways. But yeah, a little bit of praise and that man will just do anything for you.
Yeah. If you're constantly criticizing, then don't act surprised when he's not really interested in spending time with you or being sexually intimate with you.
Yeah. We say sometimes on our social media posts, be your husband's lover, not his mother. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Be his lover, not his mother. Are there some times where you need to speak up and go, hey, pick that up out of the floor? Absolutely. But don't be the person that's all you say.
Yes.
Be kind and lovable. All right, now let's talk about number four. I like this one.
Okay. Be willing to initiate, wives.
Yeah, and I kind of jumped on this while ago, just a little bit. It's really important. We think, personally, in a good, healthy marriage, initiation needs to happen about 50% of the time. If one spouse is the only one that ever initiates, they'll feel like they're begging. And nobody wants to beg for anything. Take turns initiating. And initiating can be so easy. We did a post a year and a half ago called like 21 ways to initiate sex. It was extremely popular because we have people all the time go, how do you initiate sex? Well, you can do it verbally by saying, hey, honey, how about tonight? I would really love to go to bed with you tonight. And whatever it is, you can initiate. Wives, you can initiate by laying something out on the bed that's lacy or something and maybe sending your husband a picture at work and just go, hey, I'm going to wear this tonight is my plan. That's a pretty good way to initiate. There's just so many ways to initiate, to let your spouse know you are interested, you are in the mood. And the worst thing you can do is lay there in bed going, I wish my spouse would initiate. Mm-hmm. And you haven't really given them any expectation that's what you're interested in. Sex can be one of the most beautiful, wonderful, pleasing things in the marriage. And it also can be extremely frustrating if you expect things without communicating them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you initiate, it makes your husband feel desired. And that's very mm-hmm. important to men. They want to feel wanted and needed and valued and prized and desired, all those things. And so when you initiate sexually, that tells them, hey, she wants me.
Yeah.
And that just speaks volumes to men. So initiating is important. It really is.
It is.
Yeah.
And I had, this really fits under the other point, but I'm going to forget it if I don't say it right here.
Okay, say it.
So we're going to say this right here.
we'll just blend these two points
okay.
together.
Yeah, because I'm going to totally okay. forget it if I don't say it. I heard a woman say one time, and I wish we could have just pulled her up to the front and said, can you repeat this for everyone? She said, my husband, when I'm sexually frequent with my husband in meeting his needs sexually and initiating and being frequent like we're supposed to, like he wants, she said, I have found that he communicates better. He serves me more. He touches me more. All the things that I like, he just come natural to him because he all of a sudden feels very, very connected to me. It's like he wants to do those things because all of a sudden, like, he's reconnected to me. And her final phrase, I'll never forget this, was she said, why would I not want to make love to my husband? Because it blesses me mm-hmm. in so many ways. And I thought, that is just so good. And sometimes wives don't see that.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, we did not throw anything in here specifically about frequency. So I'm glad you brought that up because frequency is generally more important to men than women. Not always, but generally It is. Mm-hmm. And so, wives, your husband does want you to know that frequency matters. And so, y'all need to talk about that and figure out, you know, what's a good balance for you in your marriage. We've said this before, we'll say it again. The higher drive spouse should not set the frequency. The lower drive spouse should not set the frequency. It should be a mutual decision. Because now what we mean by that is the man may want to have sex every day. I mean, honestly, some men do. If not every day, if not every day, 2 to 3 times a week. The woman may be going, you know, once a week is a lot. So you have to find a balance there, because neither one of you should...
somewhere meet in the middle.
Yes, meet in the middle.
No one spouse should get to be the key holder to how often sex is happening in a marriage. And understand that there are phases that you will go through. Of course, as honeymooners, you're probably going to be more sexually active than you are when you have small toddlers in the house.
Yes.
Understand that's part of it. Be patient with your spouse during that time.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot expect a mama who is got a toddler and a baby to be going, hey, I'm always in the mood. And so those are just times you're going to have to understand. When you have teenagers in your home, you may find it a little bit more difficult to find privacy. When you become empty nesters, we found that, hey, it's a whole lot better. All of a sudden, it's like there's nobody at home that gets in our way, and we can do anything we want. And so it's almost like a honeymoon stage again. So there's just different stages you go through. There may be health problems that you're having. There may be, we talked about all of these last time, there may be different things that you need to see a doctor for. But whatever it is, strive to have the best sexual intimacy that you can have in your marriage as long as you can.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you can.
Yes.
And so that's important.
So while we're talking about frequency and initiating, let me just also remind the wives that, you know, we said, let him know when you're in the mood, because he doesn't know. Well, there are plenty of times that you may not be necessarily in the mood, but that doesn't mean that you can't talk yourself into that. Does that make any sense?
It does. I can't believe you're going here.
Yeah, I mean,
no, this is good.
It I think it just needs to be said, because you just think, well, if you just wait till you're in the mood, that may not ever happen.
It's true. Have you ever been in mood to go to the gym and work out?
No, not very, very rarely do I say, I cannot wait to go to the gym and hurt and kill myself and know I'm going to be sore the next day and all these things. You know, it's going to the gym. We do that because we know that's going to be... It's a healthy thing to do. It's good for us in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And then when you go and you're done, you're glad. I'm glad I got up and did this today.
Yes.
And the same can be said for sexual intimacy in marriage. There may be times where you go, I'm just really not in the mood today, but I'm going to.
It's just the last thing on my mind.
You can become in the mood.
You can. You absolutely can. So, you know, when we're talking about agreeing on frequency and meeting in the middle, you know, somebody is going to have to probably have sex a little more than they would prefer. Somebody's going to have to not have it as often as they would like.
Oh, that's good.
And that is just, that's marriage.
It's called marriage. That it's called being, called, not being selfish.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm telling you, you can be extremely selfish in both directions. You can be a spouse who's got a higher drive that is extremely selfish. And I can promise you, you may have sex as more often like you want, but you will not have a spouse who's desiring you because you're forcing them. At the same time, if you're the lower drive spouse and you're being selfish and you're going, hey, just because I'm not in the mood, I don't have to do anything as long as I want and I'm not interested in meeting their needs, then it's not going to be good for your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to have what you hope for in your marriage, the connection.
Yes. Marriage is about give and take in every aspect, and that's just the way God designed it to be.
Let's look at this last point.
Last one. Sex is much more than just physical.
Yeah, we talk about the big O in orgasm and sex, but really sex has a whole lot to do with the other big O, which is oneness.
Mm.
And it connects you and reconnects you over and over and over. It is so healthy for your marriage. And more studies show this all the time, that things like releases of oxytocin in both the husband and the wife during sex connects and reconnects people together. And it's just incredible. It's, yes, it's for procreation. Yes, it's for pleasure, but it is also for connection. And it's hard to deny that. It is really hard to deny that.
It is. It improves intimacy and connection for the husband, for both of you, really. I mean, it just, like you said earlier, sex, you know, for it improves that connection and makes the husband want to be more affectionate, want to run errands for his wife, want to help in the kitchen, all those things that, you know, it improves the marriage all the way around if it's done with the right attitude on both parts.
Yeah, good way to put that. And if we're going to be honest, and I'd like to think we are on this podcast, I'll just say it, and I think you'll agree with me. When we are meeting one another's needs, whatever those needs are, our marriage works better. We like each other better. When we are sexually connected, when there hasn't been long dry spells, when there's not sexual frustration in our marriage, we get along better. We just are a whole lot more connected. And I think there's just something to that. I think there's just something to that. So as we close, a reminder to both husbands and wives, always remember, when it comes to married sex, being with the same person over and over and over does not mean stale or boring or routine. It just means you've learned to rock each other's world. You know what your spouse likes, what works, what doesn't like, what doesn't work, and enjoy it. And learn to communicate about the things that will bless your married sex life.
Yes, communicate. You cannot over communicate.
You sure can't. Can I make two quick announcements real quick?
Yes. Let us know what's going on.
We are headed to Dewey, Oklahoma on March the 8th and 9th, and we're excited about that. We are also headed here really quick to Meridianville, Alabama. That's in April. If you're in the Birmingham area, this is you. This is going to be a great workshop, and you Alabama people, show up. This is close to the southern Tennessee border. Show up. So that'll be good. And then in May, we'll be in Tulia, Texas. That's in the panhandle of Texas. And we know lots of people up there, and we're looking forward to seeing lots of friends and folks in Tulia. So that's what's going on. I'm going to throw this out because I think this is important. If you live in the Lubbock area, Lee and I are going to be teaching some classes on Wednesday nights in April at the Sunset Church of Christ. And childcare is available. They'll be 7 to 8 o'clock. We're going to do it. There's 4 Wednesdays. We're going to teach some classes on marriage. And if you want to come, if you're in the Lubbock area and want to come, whether you have kids or not, you can put your kids in the childcare for the night. But come join us in Lubbock in the month of April on every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. We're going to be doing some teaching classes there. We'll have more announcements as it gets closer.
Yep.
Anything else?
Good stuff coming up. Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Y'all have a great week. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.